Everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Dory's fresh off of a sinus infection diagnosis, everyone.
What?
Sorry. I didn't realize that you wanted sound effects on this episode.
I wanted a sound effect for the announcement that I have a sinus infection.
You got it. All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Here for that sinus infection.
That's what I'm talking about.
Just picked up some antibiotics for you.
Yeah, Matt went and got me my antibiotics, which was very nice. I couldn't bear the thought of leaving the house again.
If you drank a kombucha and then took antibiotics, would you explode?
I bet if you took
Could you power a warp engine?
Is it a Pepto and a kombucha? You might explode.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, the pro and the anti.
Right, yeah,
together,
yeah.
Together.
Sure. Yeah,
confined space.
Yeah. So, here's what happened. I've been sick for a week and a half, but at first it really just seemed like a regular old cold that I'd gotten from Henry, and I felt like I was getting better. And then all of a sudden, I would say like last Wednesday, I was like, oh, what is happening? Like, my nose is very stuffed. And then Thursday, I couldn't smell anything. And I was like, oh no, the last time I couldn't smell anything, I had COVID. So
that's true.
I took a COVID test. It was negative. I was like, oh, I guess I don't have COVID. I guess I just have this very annoying, very stuffed nose. So I went about my business, and then Friday I was really out of it and barely got out of bed. And then...
Still didn't do anything about it.
Well, I was like Afrining my nose and Navaging my nose and, you know, clearing it out. And then this morning Matt said, you know, if I was sick, you would say to me, you should see a doctor. And I was like, yeah.
If I was still sick, that's what I was.
And I said, yeah, and if I were you, I wouldn't go to the doctor.
And then I said, all right, that's fair.
And then I said, but I'm not you. So I'm going to go to the doctor.
There you go.
So I went to the doctor, and he said, you have some fluid in your ears. I can see the discharge in your mouth.
Nice.
You have a sinus infection.
Cool.
And I told him that I told him I had tested negative for COVID twice. He's like, oh yeah, most people aren't getting the like losing smell and taste anymore. That was more like the first round of COVID. I was like, I had it in July and I lost my sense of smell. And he was like, oh, like that surprised him.
Well, you know, he does his own research,
I guess. So yeah, so you know, I was like, it's just a cold. Like, what can they do? And then it turns out that it's not just a cold, and there is something they can do.
Yeah. So she's on antibiotics, which is truly exciting. And I stood at the Walgreens for a while waiting for this prescription.
They said it was ready.
In front of me.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying, there's one person in front of me.
Oh, I see.
That it took a long time. And I was like, gotcha. Man, I really don't. I did see a giant deck of cards on an end cap, and I was like, who is this for? A magician? Like, what is this giant deck of cards for sale for?
Define giant, like 8.5 by 11?
Bigger than 5 by 7, smaller than 8.5 by 11.
That is large.
You know what? Maybe it was 5 by 7 on its own. Yeah, maybe it was about 5 by 7.
That is large.
It was a bicycle. It was a big, giant bicycle deck.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool for poker.
Honestly, it would, because I feel like as we get older, people can't see the cards.
Don't know what suit is there.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing.
And some of the card, the printing of the suit and the numbers is quite small. So if you're far away, people really do have trouble seeing the card. So I don't disagree with you.
I know some people in the Poker Go community, like the people that like do the TV there and like the World Series of Poker. I can probably find somebody over there. I should introduce it and be like, guys, senior tournaments, let's use these big giant decks.
That's genius.
Be amazing.
That would be amazing.
It'd also be really funny if you're like fucking with your friends and you're like, guys, I finally found a deck you can use. And then
honestly,
you brought out the giant deck.
Honestly, I should do that. You know, they make Mahjong cards in three sizes. One is like small. I want to say it's like 3x5 or 4x6. Then there's a large print one. And I get the large print one because I want to say it's like 5x7. Like it feels like a nice size. The small one does feel small. But they also have a mega card that is 8.5x11.
I like that. I like it already.
I know.
Mega card.
I'm considering buying it. It's $30. Which is a lot.
So we get jobs.
Yeah, exactly. The Easter Bunny came overnight.
Big Easter day here at the house.
Yeah.
Henry was excited about everything. Because he got up and he like landed on me, and then he's like, he just was like, Dita, put on my stuff. Like, so he wanted to watch something. And I was like, but I don't want to put on the thing, and then I don't want to keep switching episodes. He's like, I promise I won't have you switch episodes. And I was like, okay, fine. And then I was like, Bo wanted to go outside. I was like, oh, let's check on the rain. He's like, oh yeah, I forgot it was going to rain. He ran outside. He's like, oh man, I wonder what the Easter Bunny's going to do later. And I'm like, later? And he's like, yeah, like at 1 o'clock.
Because last year the Easter Bunny came during his nap because the Easter Bunny was running behind.
Yes, a little bit. And I was like, oh no, the Easter Bunny already came.
But we told him that the Easter Bunny was going to come overnight this year.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, we did tell him that.
He wanted to do an Easter egg hunt. He was very excited when he found out there was one. I told him we had to wait for Mama on that. And then he was like, okay. And then I was like, do you see your Easter basket? He goes, no. He had walked right by it. It was right in front of his room, essentially.
Aw.
And then he went to town. He loved it. He loved his slinky. He loved his splat ball.
Uh-huh.
He really had a great time with everything in there. And was satisfied with one gummy bear in each egg.
He said
his favorite was the green.
I know, which shocked me.
He ate them all immediately.
Yeah.
Which is like very funny. And it's like, oh, that's only 12 gummy bears in the morning.
Yeah. He also said that the Easter Bunny did a really good job hiding the eggs.
Yes. So the Easter Bunny, helped out by Dodo, really did a great job.
Thank you.
It was hard for me putting that Easter basket together last night with the Easter Bunny because of the Red Sox losing in extra innings and me emotionally being affected by that. A team that is like not, you know, expected to be it's expected to be not a good team. So why I get invested so much in the third game of the 162 game season is really beyond me.
That's a great, great point.
Affects me. It affects me for hours. So great news is they won today.
Did it not warm your heart?
And am I as excited about today's win as I was mad about last night's loss? No.
Did it not warm your heart, though, to see how excited he was about, like, all the Easter stuff? Wasn't that so cute?
Of course. Yeah, it was adorable.
It was really cute.
He was expecting an Easter egg hunt outside.
We told him the Easter Bunny was going to do the Easter egg hunt inside because of the rain. He didn't listen.
It's okay. It's fine. He loved it. He loved explaining that that's why the Easter Bunny did it. It was raining.
Yeah.
Jeez, I know. We told him everything. I understand, Dory. You don't have to like... The audience doesn't know that we told him.
Okay, calm down. I'm not actually upset.
We told him you were actually upset.
Okay.
I'm just joshing. So then, yeah, it was a fun-filled day of post-Easter egg hunt and breakfast. You knocked out for a little while again.
I did.
Due to your sinuses.
Yeah.
And while you were doing that, Henry and I had fun with a giant nugget. I got the slinky to go down 4 stairs.
Wow.
That was pretty exciting.
That is pretty
He didn't really
exciting.
Understand that I wanted, what I wanted to do with the nugget was build a set of like quote unquote stairs for the,
oh sure. Yeah.
For the slinky to go down.
Yes.
He was like, this slinky's big and metal. My other slinkies are small and plastic.
Yeah, his only other slinkies are mostly from like big Amazon boxes of little fidget toys.
Yeah.
So they're like little plastic slinkies.
I saw a fidget box at Walmart the other day.
I have one like in the cabinet.
Full of a bunch of garbage. And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, if I got this, I would just fidget with all of it.
Do you want some? I have some in a cabinet.
No, I don't. It would make noise on a podcast. Guaranteed.
Oh, yes, it would. I had bought a bunch one time when people were like, wrap up a bunch of small things and give it to your kid on the plane and they'll have so much fun unwrapping the toys. And so I did that and he didn't care.
No.
And
but
then
luckily he cared more about what was on the iPad.
That's true. And then one of the things I gave him exploded in the car.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
What was that? It was like a squishy thing?
Yeah, it was like a green sleeve of goo, I'll call it.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. I was like, oh, I guess this is what happens when you buy like a $9.99 box of fidget things from Amazon and there's like 1,000 things in the box.
Now you know, everyone.
Yeah, don't make my mistake.
This podcast should be called Don't Make Our Mistake.
I mean,
an IVF podcast.
That would be like that podcast would never end. Be an ongoing show.
We'd be in season 7.
Yep.
Anyway. Suppose we should talk to people about whatever it is people are writing in about.
Okay.
We can do that after a short break. But if you want to write in, you can do so. DoryandMatt@gmail.com or MattandDory@gmail.com. If you want to call in, leave a voice memo, 413-461-BABY.
Or 2229.
2229. There you go. Or, you know, record a voice memo and then email it.
Yeah, that's we like that
best,
too.
That's the best sound quality you're going to get.
That
and,
is the best sound quality.
Easy peasy. No phone fee as far as like calling long, whatever the hell. I don't know. Whatever. We'll be right back.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There are voicemails today.
Good to know. And we're back, everybody. Voicemails are here. There's some voicemails. People are listening. People are sending voicemails. That's great.
Yes.
Is the rundown the voicemail the first thing?
No.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So last week I was feeling kind of sad about a couple of friends who I had kind of self-centeredly theorized had not told me some good news in their lives because they felt sorry for me. One of them who listens to the podcast texted me immediately and was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to not tell you. I was like, okay, I choose to believe you. And apology accepted. And we moved on.
Was it like a, well, this is crazy that you feel this way because I completely just forgot.
It was a little bit, kind of a thing? It was a little bit like things have been crazy. I swear I thought I told you. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And I was like, okay, that's reasonable.
Good. You're on the road to redemption there. Great.
Totally. The other one doesn't listen to the show. So, you know, I couldn't passive aggressively get an apology out of her. So, oh, well, but
you know what I always say? Use your platforms for good.
Yeah. Yeah. But we did
good old fashioned passive aggressiveness.
We did hear from quite a few listeners about all this stuff. So, this first email is from Amelia, who lives in New York, but her family and childhood friends all live in California. And she says, I'm in the camp that never mentions to people if I'm going to be in their town, but I will not have time to see them. I just carry a guilty fear while I'm there that I'll run into someone I know and have that awkward conversation about why I didn't tell them I'd be there. But
that's interesting.
I had a sort of solution for this, at least for assuaging my guilt, which is that one time when I was there and I did go out to dinner with two good friends, I told them how whenever I shotgun into town, I don't bother mentioning it to them since it sounds ruder to me to say I'm coming but won't see you than just not mention it. And they were like, that makes sense. So now I can visit with a less guilty conscience. I think it helps that we all know that I would make the time if I could, but since I have three kids back in NYC, if I'm heading to California on my own, it's often for a very short time. Like my most recent examples were to attend a wedding and to attend a funeral, two separate trips. And in each case, I showed up, went to the event, and flew home the next day.
Right.
Meanwhile, my husband has a dear friend who tells him every single time she'll be in New York, but she too comes for very condensed trips and they're for work. And she's always like, well, I have meetings all day and leave in the evening, but maybe we could grab a coffee next to the office building for 20 minutes before I cab back to the airport. And then her meeting runs late and the 23 minutes disappear and he never sees her. At this point, my husband prefer for his friend to be like me and just not tell him about her trips. And he's not mad at her. She's great. But he's just like, what's the point of informing me when you're too busy to meet? All this to say that I think there is a reasonable argument to be made for not telling people when you're visiting their town if you genuinely don't have time to see them. And there's no reason for anyone's feelings to be hurt. In your example from last week, the situation was different because your friend also doesn't make the effort to stay in touch remotely, and she weirdly kept her pregnancy news from you. But in this, I also have a similar situation in my life with a cousin I really love. She and I grew up together in California, and we even went on a big adventurous overseas trip together as adults that I thought re-cemented our bond. But since then, 15 years ago-ish, she has answered maybe 1% of my texts, and I literally can't think of a time when she was the one texting me first. She also did not tell me about either of her pregnancies. All of that hurt my feelings. But then a few years ago, we were in California at some family event where she was as warm and funny and friendly as ever. And at one point she said something like, our family's so great. I really wish we could get together like this all the time. And I could not believe it. So from that, I thought, you know what? Maybe some people just don't stay in touch. They just won't do it. And that's their personality quirk, but it really is not a reflection of what they think of me. I still feel sad that she and I can't be in touch remotely, as I would have enjoyed those interactions, but I've stopped being offended. So maybe this is the case with your not Anna too. Maybe not Anna thinks you're great, but she's just not a person who stays in touch with people, and that's that. On one level, I don't know how much of a difference it makes practically since I don't get to talk to my cousin. It sounds like you don't communicate with not Anna. I've had to let go of all expectations of having a friendship, but I find it pleasant to think that those ladies are out in the world thinking perfectly nice thoughts about us. All the best, Amelia.
I like that last sort of line. They're out about thinking perfectly nice things.
I disagree with a lot of this email, I have to say.
Let's hear about it. I'd like to hear this other perspective. We have someone who has another perspective on this email. You're on the air. Dory, go ahead.
Well, first of all, this part where she says, I think there's a reasonable argument to be made for not telling people when you're visiting their town. If you generally don't have time to see them, there's no reason for anyone's feelings to be hurt. I take issue with people saying there's no reason for anyone's feelings to be hurt. Like, don't tell me that I can't have my feelings be hurt. My feelings can be hurt. Like, interesting. I just feel like, great, maybe your feelings aren't hurt, but maybe mine are. We're different people. And, you know, I don't think it's fair to be like, no one's feelings should be hurt, because like some people's feelings will be hurt. And the other thing is, when you said, I still feel sad that she and I can't be in touch remotely as I would have enjoyed those interactions, but I've stopped being offended. So maybe this is the case with your Not Anna too. Maybe Not Anna thinks you're great. Oh, I don't think that Not Anna doesn't like me. That's not the issue. I do think Not Anna thinks I'm great. The issue is I don't think Not Anna is a very good friend. And I don't think your cousin is a very good friend either. Like, she's not a person who stays in touch with people, and that's that? I mean, wow, that is, that's setting the bar for friendship, like, real low. Like, oh, I will just be friends with this person who puts in zero effort, but like, console myself with the thought, oh, she probably still likes me. Yikes. Like, that, no. So.
Look, I operate like that.
Yeah. You know? Well, I don't think you're a very good friend a lot of the time.
I wish I didn't operate like that. Like, I for sure wish I was able to, like, get it together enough to be, like, not annoying, but also friendly. Uh-huh. I guess my fear is always that I'm going to be annoying. So.
But you're not.
Well, you never know.
You're not. So, anyway.
But what if I am?
Those are just my thoughts. Listen, Amelia, thank you for sharing. But I know you're not going to be offended because you don't get offended. So.
Wow. But she didn't say that. She did not say that. She said she doesn't get offended by things.
Most things. Look, I wish I wish I could be someone who didn't get offended. Who just like let everything roll off me and be chill and cool, but that's just not who I am, and I need to own that.
Okay, sure. I mean, I think you own it fine.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, Ellie wrote in to say, Dory, not IVF related, but just wanted to say how much I related to and appreciated your discussion of your challenging friendship on this week's episode. It took me like 2.5 years to get over feeling sad about the exact dynamic you were describing with my one-time best friend and my maid of honor. I get where Matt is coming from in trying to think through what might be causing them to act the way they have, but at the end of the day, you can't mind read. And if they aren't being a friend the way you need them to, it's not worth it. I wish you peace and joy and better friendships with the ones who deserve you. Ellie, 1,800 square feet in Columbus, Ohio. One child, 2 cats, 1 husband, no hot dogs. Thank you, Ellie. I think this is kind of what I'm getting at is like... You know, if they're not being a friend the way you need them to, it's not worth it.
Interesting.
It's not about whether they like you or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's basically irrelevant. It's more like, are they showing up for you in a way that feels reciprocal and like a friendship, like a real friendship?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Are you showing up?
I have tried.
Uh-huh.
But it's not reciprocated. So it's like,
understood.
How many times are you going to try over the course of 25 years?
Well. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, this feels like, I mean, it's interesting to me, like the other friend in the dynamic. I think of you guys as a trio of friends, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting that the other person is able to stay in touch.
Uh-huh.
Which that's all I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know what the... Well, I mean, I suppose it's just that East Coast bias, you know?
Sure.
Closer.
Yeah. Well, we have a voicemail.
Okay. Let's hear the voicemail. This would be... Hang on. Friends. That is the name of the voicemail. And here it is.
Hey, Dory. I just want to thank you for your vulnerability in talking about, yes, that's Marsha, in talking about your friend across the pond who didn't reach out to you. And I had to pause the pod because I wanted to say what I wish Matt would have said, although Matt was being very nice. I just want to say that fuck.
Thank you.
Hard stop. I'm so sorry. It just stinks. No fixing it. Just that sucks. And mourning the loss of friends or the change of a friendship is not something we're taught to navigate very well, and it's not something that a lot of people talk about. So thank you for talking about it, and I'm sorry. That sucks. Bye-bye. Rafa, you say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
That was cute.
I think that's a very nice voicemail to leave. If anyone else sees failings in what I'm saying to her, please pick up the slack on via voicemail.
Yes.
I'd appreciate it.
All right. Moving on from this topic, thank you to everyone who wrote in and called in about it. I appreciate all of your perspectives, even if I don't agree with all of them. This is from Bertha. Hey, Matt and Dory. I just wanted to write in with a book recommendation for Matt. I know the ADHD of it all might make reading a book challenging these days. Remember when you and Scott had a book segment on Phoebe? I really loved Directed by James Burroughs by the man himself. I listened to the audiobook and it was fantastic. I was born in 1979, so Cheers did not hold my interest as a child when my parents watched it. My husband is 9 years older than me, but somehow never watched it either. We started watching it a few years ago and loved it. And now we're halfway through Frasier, Bring Back Talk Salad. Yeah. And we are now dorks who go to Cheers on Beacon Street for a couple beers every time we're in town for a date night. I'm a big TV comedy nerd.
Love it.
And this book was so interesting and satisfying to listen to. I thought Matt might be able to find some inspo in there to power through his script. If you don't want to commit to the book, he was also a guest on Conan's podcast when the book came out, and it's a great episode.
I appreciate the heads up on that. I didn't even know that he had a book out. So, bad job on press.
Is it a new book?
Well, if it was on Conan's podcast, it's going to be within the last 5 years.
It came out in... Oh, 2022. June 2022. Directed by James Burroughs, 5 decades of stories from the legendary director of Taxi, Cheers, Frasier, Friends, Will and Grace, and more.
I think that's a great use of an Audible credit. Thank you.
I bet you'd really like this.
I'm looking forward to really liking it. I appreciate that's a great email. It's a heads up. I think I don't know why I didn't know that existed.
All right, and she also has another part of her email for me. Dory, I graduated high school in 1997 from a class of about 200, and the lack of camaraderie is real. My class did organize a 10th reunion, but it was a booze cruise around Glastahaba.
Jesus.
And I couldn't think of anything worse than being trapped on a boat with no way to make a quick exit, and my friends who attended said there was a lot of vomiting. Never heard anything about or had a 25th, though I suppose COVID could have been a factor. And the handful of friends I was close to in high school are still in my life, and those who live farther away I keep up with online. Are reunions still necessary in the age of social media? If I want to know what some rando from 12th grade AP bio is up to, they're just a Google away. Anyways, I hope you both find amazing writing jobs soon. We are employed and barely surviving out here in the Boston area, so I can't imagine being underemployed in LA. Love to you guys, Henry and Beau. Bertha is in an 1,800 square foot rental on the North Shore with a husband, a 70-year-old non-science baby who's trying to get her driver's license, God help me, and a 3-year-old tabby. 1 32-inch TV in the bedroom, a 55-inch in the front room, and a 60-inch in the family room. Maybe 5 to 6 hot dogs so far this year. My husband loves them, so I make them once or twice a month for dinner, but Matt probably won't count them because even though I'm not Jewish, I actually prefer Hebrew National all-beef hot dogs. They're salty and flavorful, grilled or broiled. KM is my second choice.
All right. At least it's in the conversation.
Bertha, thank you for this. I have gotten some like validation from other fellow mid-90s high school grads who are also like, like everyone's like apathetic. About reunions, about high school reunions.
High school reunions. Yeah, I mean, there's never been a peep of one on my side of things, and I graduated with like a class of 60 people.
Oh, see, that's interesting. I would have thought a smaller school would be more into reunions.
Well, I honestly, well, yeah. But who's supposed to be doing it, right? It's supposed to be like, if I remember correctly, it's like supposed to be the president of the student body.
Maybe we didn't have a student body president.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting... I don't know why. I don't know why we didn't have it. I also, I got to think that, like, it's, I think that that point in that email about the internet, it's like, yeah, that does kind of take care of.
That is true. That is very true.
I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to talk to anybody.
That is very true.
I can just swing through a Google and be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Police blotter, you know, it's all there. Everything.
Totally. Yeah.
That's got to be, that's an interesting piece, the death of the reunion.
Yeah, totally. I wonder if anyone's written that. Hmm. Well.
I'm gonna pitch it freelance to Wired? It's like, I got to think of something.
Sure, Wired.
What's a publication that exists?
It barely exists. Some newsletter I subscribe to just recently sent out an email with the names of all the people from various publications who had been laid off in the last couple of months, and they did it like masthead style, and like, I mean, these places are laying off like 10, 20 people. It's like insane.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Excuse me. Okay, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
All right. This is one of the rare emails that I forwarded to Matt prior to us reading it on the podcast today because I felt it was important information for him to have.
What are you even talking about?
I sent you this email a few days ago when it came in.
No.
Okay. This is from Erica.
Oh. Wait a second. What is this one? You know, I don't really feel like getting into this, but go ahead.
Do you not want me to read it?
You know, I did. It's fine. I have no boundaries. Go ahead.
You know what? I won't read it. I won't read it in detail, but I will say, I'll just summarize it and say that the person who wrote in works doing... in lab and at-home sleep studies, she scores them. She's not a doctor. She's clear saying that, but she was very concerned about how Matt had been describing his sleep and how much sleep apnea affects you, and she just really wanted you to get to do a sleep study.
2 to 3 hours of REM, Jesus Christ. That's a lot. Let's see what I hit last night. All right, I had 5 hours and 28 minutes of sleep, and I hit REM for 13 minutes.
Yeah, see, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what you're trying to prove. I'm not
trying to prove anything.
Doing a sleep study.
I'm not, there's nothing, I don't know, there's nothing I'm trying to prove. It's just another aspect of my life that I am doing a bad job at.
But maybe if you got this worked out, other aspects of your life would improve.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know how that would give us rent money, but sure.
Well, it would make you more awake.
I mean, I'm very awake.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on.
Have you ever seen anyone this awake before?
No.
Thank you.
You're right. Okay, we have a voicemail. Could you play it, please?
Which one is this?
It is traveling with a 15-month-old.
Thank you.
Ask and you shall receive, Matt. That is exactly what I'm here for. It is your Boulder bestie, and I'm here to give you guys content. I'm going to wait a week to update you, but since you need content now, here I am. So, good news, my second beta actually came back very well. They wanted it to triple. Remember, it was 57. They wanted it to triple, and it did. It was like up to 197, which was really great. So I'm really happy. That was the last beta I did. They only wanted me to do two. And now the next step is an OB appointment. So technically, I'm pregnant, but we'll see.
Mazel.
I guess, as Dory, you used to say in the early days with Henry, today I am pregnant.
Yes, I did say that.
Yeah, my OB appointment is next Thursday, and hopefully there will be, you know, proof of life. So feeling very positive and grateful and happy, but, you know, cautiously optimistic, I will say. So that's that update. Otherwise, I think I could really use some advice on, we're traveling soon. In a few weeks, we're taking a 4-hour flight with Mikael, our son, who's now 15 months old. And I am really dreading this flight. We did not get him his own seat. I think you can fly a toddler for free until they're two, if they're on your lap. So that's what we're doing. And I think it's going to be a total disaster. He is walking now and just really likes to be busy and really likes to be like on the move. And I cannot imagine him sitting in one of our laps for 4 hours straight. I think it's going to be like meltdown after meltdown. I was thinking about doing an iPad, but his attention really doesn't hold for that long. Like even when we have Miss Rachel on now, it'll only hold his attention for like 5 minutes. Mm. So I don't really have high expectations. With iPads, he usually likes to like hit all the buttons and then the entertainment goes away. And also, like, I guess I have to get him headphones. I don't know. This flight seems like a total disaster. Would love any tips. Are we crazy for not getting him his own seat at 15 months old? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, good job going glamping. Very proud of you guys for doing that. You know, I always think about you guys because I feel like we're in a very similar situation. My husband and I living in Boulder, we don't really have any friends. You know, we don't have a community. We're building it. We're working like very actively on it. But I will say it is something that I work very, very hard on. And I do a lot of things that I don't want to do because I want to make friends. And it's happening, and it's happening slowly, and I know it'll continue to happen over time. But, you know, doing things that are out of your comfort zone, although you guys did glamping a few years in a row, so I guess it's kind of like your jam. Mm-hmm. But it's the kind of thing where, like, you know, you hope that you meet some parents and you form some relationships and you keep, like, fostering that. So anyway, kudos to you. And yeah, that's about it. I hope you get a lot more content this week. And wish me luck on my flight and my appointment, but I will call you guys before then and let you know how my appointment goes. Okay. Talk to you later. Boulder bestie. Bye.
Thank you, Boulder bestie, for receiving the call to action. So 15 month olds on planes.
I would say that is,
I'm firmly against it.
I mean, I would say that is one of the more difficult ages to take a child on a plane, particularly if they don't have their own seat, because they're mobile. They are too young to like watch a lot of screens. It's tough. And so that's why when people ask this question, I always say, if it's available and you can afford it, buy the seat for the child and bring your car seat or bring a travel car seat on the plane and keep them restrained.
Yeah, it was kind of night and day with Henry once we did that and got him the seat.
Yeah.
And put him in the seat.
So much better.
And strapped him in.
Just so much better. They're more comfortable. It's also about a million times safer. I mean, you saw what happened with that Boeing plane. The door came off. I mean...
Yeah, 18 toddlers went out the window that were all sharing seats. That's
well,
the only...
I mean... The,
luckily, they all made it, but...
like, the aviation industry knows that lap children are not... It's not safe, but...
No, of course not.
But
it's cheaper.
But it's cheaper, and, you know, like, whatever. So, my advice is if you can swing it, buy the seat. If that is impossible... bring a lot of snacks.
Snacks will be good. iPad, I mean, I don't know what. Maybe you haven't let your kid watch a lot of cartoons, you know? Maybe you could try out some Mickey Mouse Clubhouse before you get on that plane.
I mean, that is young,
though.
Could
be the thing that enthralls 15 months.
That's young. Henry wouldn't have been able to follow. He couldn't follow, like, a story.
He watched Super Wings, which was 6 minutes long.
Not when he was 15 months. When he was,
are you sure?
Yes, when he was two, he did, like, but Henry not 15 right months. And, like, there's a big difference between 15 months and 24 months.
Yeah, 9 months.
Yes, exactly. So, Boulder Bestie, good luck. Let us know how it turns out. Sorry we don't have better recommendations for you. I mean, the only thing I can say is, like, you just kind of, you're in survival mode.
We're hoping for the bestie, though.
When you travel with a kid that age. If anyone has thoughts, suggestions, please. We have another child travel question from Alex. Hi, Dory and Matt. Due to flight schedules, we are considering traveling through to Canada via Las Vegas in July. Any tips for family-friendly hotel or activities for a four-year-old in Vegas with a baby also along for the ride? I actually can't recall any stories of a Henry Vegas trip on the podcast, but perhaps I've missed them. Thanks.
It happened.
Alex is in Perth, Australia. Husband, four-year-old, six-month-old with weekly hot dogs for the four-year-old.
Believe it or not, it did happen early on in the run of Henry pre-pandy.
Pre-pandy.
September of 2019.
Yeah, so he was 4.5 months old.
Yes, and we hauled his ass down to Vegas like good, responsible parents. we stayed off the strip at Green Valley Ranch, which is a... I really do like that hotel. It's far enough away from everything. And it's really nice amenities wise. You never have to leave it.
That's true.
I mean, it's got some other advantages, like when you're cabbing to and fro, you're not like fighting with everybody else to get a cab to the airport. Because mostly locals go there.
Right.
What else can I tell you about it? It's there's a good kid pool. There's a arcade for the kids. But then, like, Dory was just telling me about the Golden Nugget the other day.
So in one of the local mom groups that I'm in, someone just posted about her family's... She took her two kids to Vegas. I think they're a little older. I think they're like, I want to say like 6 and 8. And they stayed at the Golden Nugget and had a great time. And Matt was initially skeptical, but he was like, oh, I guess I see it.
It's in downtown Vegas, which in and of itself is its own, like,
I've never stayed there with you.
Right. I've never stayed in downtown Vegas. I've only visited.
They also mentioned a playground that actually does look very cool. called Exploration Peak Park. That's Western themed. And it's like huge. I actually think Henry would love this.
All right, we'll meet you out there.
So that could be a fun... Oh, there's a splash pad. Looks pretty fun, I gotta say. Yeah. I think...
There's no shortage of hotels. First
there's
of all,
no shortage of hotels. You know. It's... I will say, I do think the like the activities for families are geared towards families with slightly older children.
Yes.
Like, I feel like 6+ is kind of the sweet spot for Vegas. Not to say you can't go, but it does seem to me that, like, to really enjoy it, maybe your kids should be a little bit older, but, like, I don't know, you'll probably have a great time.
That's true.
Wow, I feel like I'm so unhelpful today.
But then you're going to Canada, which is great.
Yes, that is great. Okay, moving on. This is from Ty. Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. I've been listening to Matt for entirely too long. Wow.
Hey, me too.
What an opener. Since Nerdist first began and followed you to TNC and this... I'm not going to have any children.
14 years.
And there's zero chance of an accident as I'm married to another guy. That's all beside the point. I have an idea for a make enough to pay a bill or two scheme. Sell raffle tickets, probably some online version or something, to win a round of golf with Matt. I would absolutely pay for the opportunity. Scheduling might be tough because we all live all over the place, but put that on us. It's our job to get to you and find lodging. But you choose the course and the tee time. It could be gold.
Oh, my God.
The only risk is that you might have to spend a morning with a weirdo, but who isn't a little strange, right? I might be the only one, but I would be in for this. Just a thought. I've had this thought several times, but today I pulled over to email you. I'm 2 episodes behind, so hopefully you have a job and can disregard, but if not, think about it.
I wish. Look, I don't think, no one's too weird on the golf course, you know?
That's fair.
Some people are bad playing partners because they get too angry or they're very slow but like it doesn't matter how good or bad you are as long as you play at a decent clip.
Okay. I like the concept. I'm sorry to say that I do know quite a bit about raffles. and
this is I love finding new things out about my wife.
Well, this comes up sometimes because giveaways on Instagram got really popular. And it turns out there's like a lot of laws governing giveaways and specifically raffles. And there's a lot of rules around raffles. And you like, I think like in California, you have to like get a permit to do a raffle. Like it's very complicated. Yes, you could do like an underground raffle, but I feel like it's, if you're going to like announce a raffle on a podcast, you probably want to be like above board about it.
I am excited about these barriers that will make sure I don't do it.
I'm just saying like maybe there's a way to do a round of golf with Matt that does not involve a raffle. Like maybe it's just like you pay a certain amount and you get to
just ask.
Or you just ask and you get to do a round of golf with
Matt.
We
could make it a Patreon tier.
Oh yeah, it could be a Patreon tier.
Make it like a $1,200 Patreon tier, and then you get a round of golf with me each month.
Oh my God, that's so funny. But it has to be in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's true.
If you want to go down like a fun rabbit hole, you should Google Los Angeles tee time bots scandal.
Tee time brokers.
Yeah. It's a real good rabbit hole that has affected our household personally.
I've never been able to play Rancho.
Thank you, Ty, for that suggestion. We are still soliciting get rich quick schemes and jobs.
And I'll take a get rich at a reasonable rate.
Yeah, get rich slow.
In exchange for a full-time work schedule, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that is usually how jobs work.
Yeah, happy to have that again. That would be nice.
I have a job interview this week, actually.
You do, which is job interview 2 of 4 for the same position, correct?
I don't know.
Well, let me tell you.
There's multiple interviews.
Don't ever end up on recruiting hell.
Oh, it comes up for me all the time.
Oh my God, is it like...
It's a very depressing. Looking? I mean, not to mention, I could go... I don't want to get on this tangent, but I will get on it for half a second, which is... I got back on LinkedIn because it's like when you're looking for a job, you're supposed to be on LinkedIn. And now all these like viral LinkedIn posts come up for me. And this one came up the other day from a recruiter who was talking about how many applications they got for one job. I think it was a tech job.
Yeah.
They got like over 3,000 applications. And then she went through like why. She was like 1,600 of them. Like I said, they have to live in, I don't even know where. Buffalo. I'm making that up. They have to live in Buffalo. 1,600 of them like didn't live in Buffalo or weren't willing to relocate. So like they were eliminated. 700 of them weren't like valid to work in the United States. So they were eliminated. Mm-hmm. And then she just kind of like went through. And like on the one hand, it was kind of reassuring in the sense of like, you do see how many people just blindly apply to a million jobs, whether or not they're qualified like remotely make the qualifications. So in that regard, you're kind of like, okay, well, if I do, then. But then on the other hand, it's like, oh my God, so many people are looking for jobs. And I have applied for jobs that I am qualified for and heard nothing, like just nothing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of grim. So I don't know. So we'll see. Wish me luck.
Good luck, honey.
Thank you. Okay. Oh my gosh, wait. Okay. Oh, I guess we have more emails because we did 2 extra long segments last week. That's right.
We did, yeah. That's true.
Okay. We're gonna play a voicemail then.
Okie dokie.
And this one is called Missing Remote.
Here we go.
Hey, Dory and Matt. I was thinking of you today. I have a daughter who is almost exactly Henry's age, give or take a month or so. And a couple of days ago, I was taking a nap and she was supposed to be watching TV in our bedroom. And I was... You know, I could kind of hear her, like, getting off the bed and coming back onto the bed. And, you know, I wasn't worried. Like, I knew she was just kind of messing around. Anyway, the remote control to the TV in our bedroom went missing. And I asked her, did you hide it? And she, like, wouldn't say yes and she wouldn't say no. And we've been looking for days and days. We had to, like... The TV was left on, but we didn't have the remote, so we had to, like, unplug the TV to get it to turn off. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I would be like, did you hide it? Where is it? It's fine. Did you hide it? And she like, didn't say yes and didn't say no. It was so bizarre. Anyway, a couple days go by, and I go to get more toilet paper out of the vanity, like, the sink. And it's just sitting there, like, sandwiched in between all the toilet paper. She clearly hid the remote in the toilet paper. I don't know why she just didn't tell us. She watched us. We like tore the bedroom apart looking for it. Anyway, it just reminded me of Henry and the bolt situation when he had hidden it in the salt. It's like, what is going through these little... What is going through their heads? I think they just love to torture us. So anyway, just thinking of you and Henry during the remote control saga of 2024. Bye.
I mean, that's very funny. And I think they just like to see that they have some control over the parents or other people. It's like...
That's a good point.
If I hide this, I'm the only one who knows where it is, and they're going to have to look for it. Like... It's very funny to me that your daughter is, like, not saying yes and not saying no.
Totally. Now, I do believe that Henry forgot that he put the bolt in the salt.
He knew in the moment.
But like days later. And also,
well, I looked for it the same day.
I know, I looked for it too.
No, I mean the day it disappeared, I looked for it, which was the day that I brought it in the house.
I know. I don't know.
He didn't say anything.
I know he didn't say anything.
But then after that it became, I forgot.
I know.
He said it today.
He did, I know. All right. One last email. Julia wrote in to say, something I learned with my first pregnancy is that to help Tylenol work for a headache, it helps to take it with a few sips of caffeine, like black coffee or a Coke. I learned that from my OB's office, and it helps make the Tylenol work 30% better. It's also basically the same as Excedrin, migraine, or Midol. By that point, fun fact, but without the prices. Well, that's interesting because the day that you took the Tylenol and you said it hadn't worked, you later realized that you had had no caffeine that day.
Yes, that is true.
So if you had taken it with some caffeine,
it would have probably energized my brain in ways that would have alleviated all of my headache pain.
Totally.
If I had known this.
Wow.
Now I know it.
All right. Well, let's thank our Patreon supporters.
Of course. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. They support the show. Keep it going currently. They are the people who are really our job right now is to be a podcast for you guys. And if you support us on there, we thank you. If you support us at the $5 level or above, you get your name right on the podcast each and every month. You also get the back catalog of episodes. We'll do two of those a month. So thanks to the following folks. AJB.
Allison Patel.
Audrey.
Aurora and Zelda.
Ainsley.
Bertha Crowley.
Claire O'Neill.
Crescent Martin.
Danielle Nijiforo.
Elizabeth K.
Aaron, here comes the Gudge.
Jane Ennis.
Jen Brennan.
Jessica.
Julia from Germany.
Julie Raskin.
Justin Vala.
I feel like you should read this next one as well.
Sure. Cap 10 Cyber Trainee, his comm badge on his brown coat, batleth in hand, crystal knife unsheathed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kate Laird.
Katie Davenport.
KK.
Kristen.
Lark Baum.
Laura Bennett.
Laura Madge.
Lauren Cephalo.
Lisa.
Mara Fass.
Mary Myra.
Mary Elizabeth Murphy.
Maud Tremblay.
Melanie Bronbeck.
Miriam Centeno.
Nicholas Skidmore.
Nicole.
Marantha.
Nope.
Rosina Bosco.
Samantha.
And Stephen H. Thank you all very much. Have a lovely week. Hopefully the next time we talk to you, Dory's sinuses are uninfected.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.